Now, Father, we thank you for bringing us back together again this day and for your care of us all. And we ask that you'll be with us in this fellowship. In Christ's name, amen. I might just review a few things with you this morning. I do have a passage of scripture that I think is extremely important. The Shepherd Psalm, 23rd Psalm, is relevant. I see more and more the role of a shepherd in the wilderness, but I'm in the wilderness with you, you know. We're all out there. The wilderness people need a shepherd too. The 23rd Psalm is very, very relevant. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I have to say to you that the green pastures are not necessarily in the flesh. You might say, well, I don't know. I haven't seen many green pastures around. The green pastures are always the spirit. Spirit area is always in the care of Christ, but not always in the flesh. And the psalmist says, he restoreth my soul. Of course, the Hebrew word nephesh is for life, per se. Now, we make a distinction in the New Testament between soul and spirit. Soul is the emotional area, as we've looked at it, and the mental and so forth, and the spirit is deeper than that. But I have to say that whatever you may feel in the flesh is always superseded, or let's say, is supported by the spirit within, you see. It was an interesting experience, as I told you it would be, to see what effect major surgery would have on the psyche, the emotions, biochemical imbalances, and so forth, which I'm always reassuring people with, you know, that emotional problems may be based upon physiological factors that you can't really help. But it was interesting to me that there was never really a moment of depression or anxiety either before or after. I was trying to see how it would go, what would happen, and nothing happened. But the Lord sustained us, and I think the recognition that you have the right to feel depressed in a situation like that in the flesh, but the spirit is sustained all the time. You know that your spirit is all right. The first night I got out of off the table, you know, and back in the room, I prayed for all of you first night there, and as my custom is, and I think that was a very sustaining matter of the spirit. But of course, fundamentally, I think that I'm sure that your prayers were sustaining all the way through. I could feel the strength of it. Your prayers were enough for me. By that, I mean I didn't need anybody special. I don't need any special prayers or specially pious or specially saintly, as the common use of that word is. Every one of you has the same prayer privilege and power, because, you know, if you base your capacity to talk to God on how worthy you are or how great you are, of course, that's the big thing in the church. Everybody's trying to be great so their prayers will be answered. It's silly, because human beings, even all through life, do not always come out great. And weakness is more a commonality of our lives, even though we may feel strength, but really, in the last analysis, pretty fragile, you know, as I could see. When you're stretched out on that table, you're totally without any control over anything. You know, the doctors, and of course the Lord is in control, we understand that, but you don't have anything. You're a zero. And all through the hospital activity, in fact, in the psalm, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And, you know, I told you before I went in, it was risky. Well, I did have heart failure during the surgery, and they wheeled me out into the coronary care unit, and they had a round-the-clock nurse sitting at the foot of my bed. You can believe that. You know, they were not 100% sure of everything. But you're weak, you know, you don't have anything, and I the capital I went in with was you. I didn't have any capital in myself, you know, I'm saying the Lord ought to do this for me or ought to do that for me because I've been working for him and all the rest. It's nothing. The capital is you and your prayers. That's a lot of capital. So the green pastures may occur periodically in your fleshly world, and yet unfortunately that's a very major part of many religious groups. The only way they test God is he making the life nice for them, you see. I would have been the loser if instead of going through this surgery, he had healed me. A lot of people would say, well, the Lord will heal you. And he could if he wanted to. But the experience of the surgery was, the whole thing was something that I appreciated and found beneficial. And all the time, I hadn't the slightest qualms. One of the good things is that there was no sense of guilt. You know, why is the Lord doing this? There was a complete sense of freedom in the sense that he didn't owe me anything. I couldn't say, well, look at all I've done for you. Now you have to heal me. That would be ridiculous. On the other hand, what most people don't understand is that we don't owe him anything. Now, that would go hard with a lot of churches I know. But he gave a free gift. He said, freely you have received, freely give. So I gave freely. He didn't owe me anything for all the work I've done, which is, you know, paltry in many respects. But I didn't owe him because his gift was free. Now, that sounds a little bizarre to some people, but it was a great sense of freedom because he gave me without any conditions. And I gave to him without any conditions. So we were even. There was no guilt or no feeling of why didn't I do more, why didn't I say this, or why didn't... None of that was there. Just complete freedom in the Spirit, trusting the Lord, or going on the faith of Christ. I didn't try to exercise special trust and feelings of emotional strength or anything. I just was perfectly at peace. But I think a lot of the peace had to do with the prayers that we were surrounded with. So many people were saying that. Their prayers were effective. We're in a wilderness. I have to say that to you. These are not green pastures. The green pastures are in the Spirit. And the still waters are in the Spirit. If you don't get them stirred up by some clown that wants to come along and get you moving faster, in terms of your spirit, in terms of your relationship to Christ. Everybody's out there trying to push and push to have a better relationship to Christ, to get better and better and gooder and stronger. And the truth is, you're getting weaker. And the more strong you think you are, the weaker you are. Because all your feelings of strength are in the flesh. And the flesh runs out of gas. The Lord doesn't give you a great body of strength all through your life. Now you're going to be a strong person. That's not true at all. Paul says, if you're too strong, you're out of the running. Paul says the Lord takes the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. So, you know, if you get too strong in the flesh, you cut yourself out. I think that's one of the important things the Lord did with me, is knock me down again. You know, I've had a few bumps. He figured I needed another bump. You know? But the weakness is a great experience. As Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. So if you want to be strong, recognize that you're weak. Because the more you feel that you're a strong person, the more you're out of the running. But that's the reverse of what is often taught. Everybody's pumping to get better and better, and do this and do that, and be more holy, be more pious, and so forth. And that belongs to Christ. You know what you do when after salvation? Instead of going through the manual that you get when you're saved, to see how you can every day be better and better. Just live. Most people, a lot of people take salvation as the beginning of a vocational process of getting better and better. And they struggle and strive and fret and push. And all they do is work on the flesh. The spirit in, if you could just be at peace. If the spirit moves you to do something, he'll move you. You know, if he wants you to do some work for him, he'll put you in there. He put me in the work. I didn't get into this work because I was a sterling fellow and great Christian. The Lord just saw that I got the training I need and put the opportunities came. But it was in Paul's vein. Paul said, the spirit, the love of Christ constrains me or compels me. And that means not love for Christ, but love of Christ. And that love in us, not our fleshly love, but the love of Christ reaches out to people beyond ourselves. I've told you that over and over again. But that's the work of the Spirit, motivating and getting us to do the things we're supposed to do. If you go on the motivation of the flesh, you're going to be doing somebody else's work. You know, somebody says, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And you get the great appeals and the challenges and everything else to get out and get going for God. All is, it's all in the flesh. Take your life a day at a time and take it in the Spirit. Let the Spirit do with you what he wants, because you can't do it yourself. You'll see that you get where you're supposed to be. Because how would you know where you're supposed to be unless the Spirit puts you there? See, those are things that are very important. And I see the familial factor, the family thing, where we're the Lord's family. We're not professional religionists. We're a family. I think the more people try to be professionally religious, if you know what I mean, striving to be spiritually great in the flesh, the more they lose out the family thing, that we're part of God's family. We make mistakes, and he doesn't throw us out for that. He may say to you, well, look, that wasn't too smart. Yeah, you ought to do a little different than that. Or you may have to pay a bill or two. You make mistakes, but he doesn't throw you out of the family. You don't have to moan and groan about it. You made a mistake, pay the bill, and go on. It's just a family thing. But you see, if you're pressing to be a great Christian and you're going to do this and this and this, then you get phony. It all gets to be on the surface. There's a great peace about being in the care of Christ, trusting him to move in our spirits what he wants us to do, and that's a great thing. And the familial process, where you see yourself as a child of God, you make your mistakes, pay, you know, whatever consequences come from them. We're not always great. I discovered that a guy can make mistakes no matter how old he's been in the Lord. I've seen a lot of people, they press and press trying to be great Christian, and in the end they make mistakes anyway. But the Lord doesn't throw them out of the kingdom. The church may throw them out, but the Lord doesn't. We walk in peace because we walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is where the green pastures are. Then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Theoretically, the Hebrew means the valley of the deep shadows. But it's pretty much the same. You can walk in the valley of death and be at peace. Now, some people get a little anxious about things, but that's their makeup. You know, people get anxious in the flesh, and somebody says, oh, well, if you trust the Lord, you wouldn't be anxious in the flesh. Well, how do they know what that person's going to be in the flesh? Anxiety may be a part of the genes. Some people, have you ever known anybody with a worry wart? Yeah, there are people out there that are worry warts. They worry about everything. They worry if they don't have anything to worry about. They worry if things are going too good or things are going too bad. But anyway, people built like that. They just worry. Some of us are built a little differently in the flesh. It's all the same thing, you know. I got laid there and worried all night. especially if you see that nurse sitting there waiting for you to take the next breath. If you cough, there she is. See? Everything all right? And, you know, you're full of tubes of all kinds, and you're hanging in there, and your mouth is dry. I didn't have anything to eat or drink for 3 days. No wonder I'm a little thin there. Some people would be worried about that. But that wouldn't be because they're not as spiritual as I, because it is the way they are. That's not my propensity. Good thing, because of all the people I have to work with and so forth. But I've seen the holy Joes and I've seen the unholy Joes. And so much of that, quote, holiness is of the flesh. They can feel a little cut above the rest, you know, because they never make any mistakes. They never sin or anything. You can just relax and be at peace. And the Lord will see to it that you do what he wants you to do. If you put your life in his hands, things will happen. Events will take place, maybe beyond your control. And you'll wind up, he knows your heart. He knows you want to do what he wants. Some of you may feel, well, I'm not getting the work to do I should have. I mean, not getting the assignments or anything. Well, don't worry about it. Just take it easy. And when the Lord's ready to use you, he will. Maybe you're not ready to be used. Maybe you'd foul it up. There's a point where the Lord is very lavish with his servants. I found that out. He doesn't mind preparing a servant for years for one job. One person that gets touched by another may be the start of a whole lot of things down the line. See? So that's the Lord's thing, to see that we do what he wants us to do. Because as you listen to the television and you listen to all the appeals, you got so many appeals out there in television, it just swamps you. No way you could even begin to put the axe in. It's too much. So therefore, you have to do what the Lord has you to do. The only way you can do that is for him to do with you what he wants. And he doesn't mind putting a guy aside for a month or two. And he didn't mind putting Paul aside at one period, 2 years, but he had over his whole lifetime, I think about 7 years of being on the shelf. The Lord didn't mind taking that servant, who was probably the most valuable the church had at that time in terms of the flesh, and stowing him in a jail for a couple of years with the bumbling idiots that were the representatives of Rome. They were a clown act, you know. They handled Paul. It was ridiculous. The Lord did that, allowed it to happen. And I was not paying a whole lot of attention to my physical person. I wasn't abusing it, you know. I was just trying to eat fairly well and do my work. I thought, well, Lord will just have to take care of me and keep me going. Because I wasn't abusing it. I wasn't saying, well, I'm just going to be indifferent to my diabetes or anything and the Lord will take care of me. I was just trying to be normal, but I didn't want to spend a lot of time on the physical person. Well, the Lord decided that he wanted me to spend some time on the physical person. Spent a lot of time just looking after myself, which I don't like at all. It's a very, very hard part of this thing is that you have to spend so much time looking after yourself, you know, which I don't want to do. But he didn't keep me from being knocked out for a while. And some people might say, oh, well, if you had enough faith, he'd heal you and you could go right on. And that's a lot of baloney, you know. He had his purposes, as he did with Paul. And I'm in the same position. Paul said, the Lord gave us this thorn in the flesh so that we would not get too exalted. The thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't just I don't think it was just a sickness. He had some problems with his eyes and other things, but I think it was that needling that he got day by day by the enemy. And I've known that quite a bit, even trying to come down here. In fact, when I started to do the commentary, I'm going to do Ephesians now. I'm going to go ahead with the commentary. And the day I started, everything got fouled up, the scheduling, and unbelievably. It keeps you humble. You got to be humble in the hospital. You know, you're a hunk of meat. I don't know if you knew that. The Lord knows what he's doing with us. The psalmist says that if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you take that psalm to mean your life on the earth is going to be like that, you're missing the point. And you're going to be disappointed. If you take it in the spirit sense, whatever you go through, he's going to give you the grace to do it. I've always said he's not going to give you the grace to think about it ahead of time. He's going to give you the grace when the day comes that you have to go. That's why when this thing, I kept postponing it, I didn't pay any attention worrying about it because I wouldn't get the grace to think about it. So I thought, well, when I get into the hospital, it's time to think about it. You won't get grace to think about it and wonder about it. And he won't give you grace to wonder how you do what somebody else is doing. So you can live at peace and at the Lord's table in your spirit, always there. Table is always there in your spirit. An altar of incense is always there in your spirit. You're always in touch with Christ. And the flesh thing is just going to have to take care of itself. The Lord's going to have to do what he wants to with you. You just have to let him do it, you know. If you get yourself all riled up as to whether the Lord ought to do this for you or that for you, or why doesn't he do this and why doesn't he do that, you're just going to be in anxiety all the time. We've seen it so much here in this place. Many ways, you know, you wait and wait and you think, when is the Lord going to give us the help we need? And then all of a sudden, there it is, and we're all right. It's been that way in so many respects here in the work. Just be content to be a member of the Lord's family, not be a great member of the Lord's family. Well, I think I probably better. But Father, we thank you for this moment together this morning that we've had and restoration, and we pray the Spirit will minister to each one here according to their needs. In Christ's name, amen.